Once you get up here, it doesn't look as scary as you think. We have had so much to be thankful for in our church, don't we? We have a new building to come into. You know, you have to help me out, Jonathan. Is it 2 years? I keep on thinking it was like 3 years ago that we stood outside and prayed on a New Year's Eve. 3 years ago, we stood outside this building. It was at that time, it was the school that was meeting here. And a group of us prayed outside and lifted the building up to the Lord and asked Him for His will for us and asked Him to show us, you know, if He wanted us to buy the building and to start meeting here. And He brought it to pass. He brought it to existence, right? He wanted us to come here, and so He did it. Our pastor's sitting in the back. I don't know how many years ago we started talking about this, but I don't want to talk about it in years anymore. It makes me feel too old. But we prayed, and I don't want to embarrass you, David, but I'm going to anyway. So we. We prayed, and you know, the people in the church were asked to kind of, actually it was on the pastoral search committee, were asked, you know, what kind of pastor are we looking for? What do you feel God is leading you to in your heart? What is God asking for in a pastor? And the greatest thing that came to mind was a person who had a shepherd's heart. A shepherd's heart, someone who would care for the congregation, for the needs of the congregation, for the spiritual needs for the people and love them. And so God answered our prayer too. Amen?
Yes.
He did. Yeah. So many times in life we are so disappointed, right? I'm the worst at this. I mean, you know, you complain about things and you wonder when things are going to happen. But man, when it happens, you just have to look upwards and say, God, thank you so much for blessing us. You brought us here. And so many people have been working on this building and putting their hearts into it and spending their time. You know, I was in one of the other rooms next door and I looked down and I saw the carpet, the way that it was. They made the edging of the rooms with the carpet, and that was all not there before. This place, I mean, Uncle Jonathan provided these pictures to us, right? And I remember when we came in here, man, it was a mess. It was just filthy, dirty, and it had, you know, the carpets were all, this room didn't exist. It was all a bunch of smaller rooms, and it was a school, right? I mean, they didn't have a place like this. We had to go before a board to get a zoning done. We had to have the zoning done so that we could meet here as a church before it was a school, and so God worked it all out. He worked it all out so that we could get the allowance, and along the way we were thinking, oh, why was it taking so long? Oh, these people are being so difficult, you know, and the township is so difficult, and how come it takes so long and everything? But everything just fits into place perfectly the way God has it. He's in complete control. And so when we think about the things that we're going to be reading about in the book of Luke today, we need to remember that God is a God that keeps His promises. He's a God that cares so much about us, that He's involved in our lives. He's there with us. And we were talking about in our Sunday school class how you can't see Him really, you know, like you can see me and I can see you, but He's there. Right, he's there in a much bigger way, a much more important way than just seeing Him. But one of the messages that we want to talk about today is His Son who became visible for our sakes and knows our desire to see someone or to be in touch with a real person. And those are some of the things we want to talk about. Let's pray together before we begin, okay? Dear Lord, we honor You today. We lift your name up above every name because you are deserving of it. You are our God. You are a God who has created us. You have given us life, put the blood in our veins, given us our bodies and our souls and our minds. So often, Lord, we don't think about you. We forget about you in this crazy world that we live in. We just pray, Lord, today that the scripture that we read would make us change so that we think about you every day, so that we make you the most important thing that we have, to put you in your rightful place where you belong, not just put you in some place that's convenient for us, but to honor you with a feeling of honoring a king. We don't have a king in this country, Lord. We don't know what it's like to live under a king, but if we had one, Lord, we would be one, a people that were looking up to them, that we would bow down on our knees before them. You're much greater than any kind of an earthly king. And yet we don't do that. We don't bow down before you. We don't honor you. We don't honor you and bow down in our daily lives the way we should. So we just pray, Lord, that you'd help and speak to us today so that we'd understand just how great you are. And more importantly, just how great your love is. And how powerful this love is that you want us to know about. I just pray, Lord, that the words, as feeble as they are, that I speak today because of my sin and my unworthiness, that you would just use them, Lord, to speak to each of us so that we would fully understand who you are and what Jesus means to us. In your name we pray. Amen. I have to tell you, I feel very honored to speak today. In our church, and I feel very honored to speak about these scriptures. I want you to know something up front. God doesn't need me to tell you who he is. He doesn't need me at all. But he gave us his word for us to understand him. A lot of stuff has been talked about in our crew, in our youth group about God and impressions of God, and a lot of times people come out with the idea that not themselves, but people in the world have this opinion of God that he's let them down. You know, life didn't turn out the way that it should have. You know, I wasn't given a good set of cards. You know, he didn't deal me a good hand of cards. I remember I worked in New York with a lady who was very bitter about her life, and she said, yeah, you know, God, so many other people have been blessed more than I have. He really didn't think much of me. You know, and a lot of people have that kind of an opinion of him, but you know, ever since I was a little boy, I was brought to a church where they talked about Jesus. And this word Jesus, this name Jesus, has a lot of meaning. Do you know what the word Jesus means? Anybody? The Lord saves. The Lord saves. And that's what he's all about. We just read here in our scripture, right? Who is born? Who's going to be born to Mary? A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Right? Not just, God is coming, better watch out. You know, be on your best behavior because this God is going to come. No, God is coming to save the world. It says in the book of Matthew, it doesn't say it in Luke, but it says in the book of Matthew, he came to save men from their sins. Right? That's what he came to do. This baby came into this world. But Jesus means a lot to me, guys. He means a lot to me. I don't often live that way. I don't often live the way he, you know, in a way to give him honor the way he deserves it. But, you know, I'm determined from today, and I mean that today, I'm determined to put his name in my mouth more often. And I want to say it not just to you all here who are used to hearing the name Jesus, but I want to say it to people that don't know him. That's the hard part, you know, is to... But I think in order to do that, You have to know who it is you're talking about. Right? There's a little, I got this Bible from Wendy. You know Wendy? Wendy Wong? She gave me this Bible as a gift one time. It's a worship Bible, and so there's a lot of quotes on the side that have to do with worship. And one of the things that this guy wrote on the side of the Bible was that the meaning of Christmas is found in the fact that God came out of the picture. You know, oftentimes you see a painting on the wall, and that's all we think of, you know. But this, I like the way he put that. He said, God came out of the picture into our world to save us. He wanted to be personal with us. He wanted to show us himself. He wanted to be on earth with us. He wanted to show us that he cared enough to do that. We're talking about the word radical accrue. It's a big word, radical, meaning big change, or it's something extreme. You talk about radical, that's radical. The God who created the whole universe, that created you and created me, this God that is for many people untouchable, he did something so radical, so completely different. And what did he do? He came to earth as what? A baby. He came to earth as a baby. Right? That's radical. Oftentimes when we think of radical, we think in terms of something being like pyrotechnics at a rock concert. Right? The bigger the better. Right? How are we going to outdo the last fireworks on the 4th of July? Right? That's radical. We want to do something completely different. But you know, the Bible teaches us through the lives of people. And that's what the whole thing is about the Bible. It's not just a bunch of words or just a bunch of wisdoms or you know, things that we can write down or remember in some way. It's people. It's people's lives that were transformed by a real God. Right? It's a God who is considered a person. Right? God in three persons, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. It's a relationship that he has with us as his creation. Right? It's all about that. And so many times we're thinking about all these things as being so boom, 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 and big and so, you know, Hollywood has a way of doing that. It gets to the point where all you do is get these things pushed into your face. But the real wonder of God and the real greatness of him is proved in the fact that he doesn't go for the boom, boom, boom. He goes for the little baby in this manger that was born there. And it must have been wild, you know. These people were approached by God before Jesus was born, and they came into their lives, right? These angels came to these people and talked to them. And at first they were very afraid, right? And the word from God was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So that's one of the biggest messages that God has to say to us. Don't be afraid of me. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I want to save you from your sin. I want to be in your life. I want to be a part of you. Don't be afraid of me. You have a bad life? I have a purpose for it. You got something going on there? I can work it. I can work it. I'm God. I can do anything. I have a purpose for you, right? Then these angels, they approached these people, and these people were humble of heart also, right? There were these people that were not used to as being blessed with all these kind of things, and the world is not used to those kind of people, right? They're used to people that are powerful and good-looking and strong and can all kinds of talent and all these different things that are so obvious and radical in that way, but this radical is formed in humbleness. It's something that people don't expect. You know, as an opera singer for many years, I worked with a lot of different directors, and you would go out there and you're kind of like, okay, tell me what to do. And without exception, they would say, show me something. Show me something. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I want you to surprise me. Right? Do something different. Don't just do what the other people do that are opera singers. Do something different. Show me something. come on, I know you can do it, and they would push you in this direction, you know, if they were good directors, they would draw out that part of you that only you have. Right? And you know why we can do that? Because we come from a God who doesn't work the normal way. He's a creative God. He's a God who can do anything, but he does things in a way that are going to be meaningful. He does things in a way that are going to have a purpose. He's doing something for us. Right? So when we're talking about our minds changing and thinking in different ways, it's because God made us with that ability. He made us with that ability to think about things differently, and that's what he wants us to do today when we look at Jesus. Right? To consider him. Who is he to you? Who is he to me? What does he mean to you? You say his name, we sing his songs, right? We sing about him, we do these different things. What does he mean to you? Is he your savior? Is he seen as someone who came into your life and said, I want to save you from your sin? That's the way we need to think about him. We need to think about him in that way, that he's our Lord and Savior. Right? The name Jesus becomes beautiful. Beautiful is not a word that we use very often unless something is special, right? If a child does a painting or something, you'd say, you know, that's beautiful, baby. That's beautiful, sweetheart. You know, because it's very special and that kind of thing. Do we look at Jesus like he's beautiful? He is beautiful. And he's real. And he wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. And he wants to make it full and full of love. That's the kind of God we're honoring today. Right? Mary must have been very surprised. I think the words describe it very well, right? She's thinking, why me? This is too great of an honor for me. And then she sang this beautiful, or she didn't sing, but she she spoke this beautiful song in praise of God when he honored her with this motherhood, giving birth to the Son of God. The world is big on image. The world is big on image. Right? The image that you give, the image that you're seeking, talking about these people, you know, being radical and trying to do something so that they can get people's attention. I read something very interesting in a book that this guy was saying that God knew all about image when he planned the life of Jesus Christ, when he was going to come into this world. He understood our need for an image, and he had it all planned out, and that was his intention. He wanted it this way. He knew what he was doing when he sent Jesus in the form of a baby, right? So he could grow up and he could live on earth. And he not only knew what he was doing, but he had a plan and he was going to bring it to pass. And that's one of the biggest things that comes from these readings today that God wants to remind us of, is that what he has planned, he will bring to pass. And that's what happens when you're building a church and you're going around and you're thinking, oh, how are we going to do this and how are we going to build this and how are we going to get through this zoning and how are we going to get through the whole process and these people are being so difficult, how are we going to do this? And oh man, all these different things come into your mind. But when you have God, it changes everything. We would just be a bunch of people. We would just be a bunch of people who are wandering around and trying to find our own way. But when you have God there, then you have the one that you need. We have Jesus, and so we have what we need. And so I want you to consider today, I have to cut this short today because we're kind of short on time, but I want you to consider who Jesus is to you today. Okay? I want you to consider him. And can you ask yourself, do I know God's love today? If you don't, then God is telling you, I love you so much that I sent my only son into the world for your sake so that you would be saved from your sin. And when you acknowledge me as your savior, then you will live forever. And you will live in my kingdom. And in my kingdom, there is peace. In my kingdom, there is hope. In my kingdom there is joy, and this joy and hope and peace and eternity you can find nowhere else. So come to me and consider me. Consider this baby child. Consider this Jesus as you go out through today and you go into the world where people are buying gifts, and enjoy that. Enjoy the Christmas atmosphere. Enjoy the giving of gifts, but think about Jesus. Enjoy Christmas trees, but think about Jesus. Enjoy shopping and that kind of a feeling of wanting to get something for someone else. Enjoy getting up on Christmas and sharing gifts with one another, but think about Jesus. Don't forget about him. I gotta tell you something funny before I stop, okay? There was something that happened in a basketball game. You ever heard of Larry Bird? Larry Bird was one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. And there was a game against the Detroit Pistons. And these guys were down to the last seconds, and he played for the Boston Celtics. And they threw the ball out of bounds and lost the ball. And so the Detroit Pistons, all they had to do was take the ball and throw it in to one of their players, and time would pass, and they would win the game, right? So the guy got the ball, and he threw it to one of his teammates, and Larry Bird cut in front, and he grabbed the ball, and in one movement, he threw the ball to his teammate, and the guy scored, and they won the game. It was the last second. All the other team had to do was throw it to one of their people, and they would have won the game. Larry Bird cut in front, and he scored that basket. And you know what? They were talking with one of the players after the game, and he said something that was kind of unique. He was thinking about it, and he didn't try to be profound, but he was kind of profound. He said, yeah, it was an amazing moment. He said, you know, they just forgot. They forgot about Larry Bird. Larry Bird was one of the greatest players to play the game, and he should never have been forgotten. He was someone that they should have been thinking about the whole time when they threw that pass in, but they didn't think about him, and it cost them the championship. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing in a way with Jesus. We forget about him. We forgot about Jesus. We try to live our lives without him. We try to go through the game of life and through our lifetime feeling like, yeah, we can just do what we want. But let's not forget about the one who made everything possible, the creator of the world. It says in the book of Colossians that Jesus is the image of God. Let's think about what he means to us today. Let's think about who he is. Let's read our Bibles together. Let's grow together as a church. Let's commit ourselves, now that we're in this building, to filling it with people that are hungry to hear God's word. You guys are young, but you're able. You guys often think of yourselves as maybe not being able to talk to your friends about Jesus. But God is asking us all to do that. We, as adults here, have a responsibility to do that. We have to show you the way. I have to show you the way to do that. I have to be an example as well. So all the adults here have to start saying, yeah, I'm a Caucasian. I go to a Chinese church. So what? So what? Am I going to put a limit on God? Am I going to put a limit on what he does? There's a purpose for our church. It's to be filled with people that are honoring him, not only as a baby, but as the Son of God, the one who died on the cross for you and for me. And that was his whole purpose for coming. He came here to save us. And that's what his name means. The Lord saves. Let's pray together, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for being the reason that we are here to begin with. And help us, Lord, to trust your name and the meaning behind it. Help us to look within our hearts and to see where we stand with you, Lord. Help us to be able to lift your name up above every name this Christmas season. Help us to use the opportunities that we have to serve in our church, Lord, the Christmas concert that's coming, the preaching of your word through the sermons, the teaching in the Sunday schools, Father, through all the outreach that is planned through the deacon board and all the planning that they do. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each person who is in a in a position of leadership so that we would, Lord, be honoring you with our lives, that we would hold hands together, Father, and unite our hearts in praise to the one, the only Jesus Christ, and help us, Father, above all things, not to forget who you are. Help us not to forget the most obvious reason that we have for our existence, the most obvious person, Lord, that we should acknowledge every day in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be able to pray more often. Help us to be able to read your word with an eagerness to understand the wisdom that you want to give to us. Help us better to understand the peace and the joy and the hope, Lord, that you give to us, that we can share this, not just with our own church, Lord, but that we can look outwards into the community and that others will hear about your name. And that, Lord, because they came from you, because we are all made by God, Lord, that they will recognize the name of Jesus as being one that is going to be saving them and giving their lives meaning. I pray, Lord, and lift up this time together to you, Lord, and ask that you would change us, transform us, make us new. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.